Good morning. Our text for our meditation this morning comes from Luke chapter 11. And Jesus was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you.' But he said, 'More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Oftentimes in your life, you may find yourself trying to not pick a side. Say, for instance, you have a couple friends who are arguing. You may want to avoid picking one side over the other. Or if you're watching a sporting event, sometimes you would want to just sit back and enjoy the game rather than rooting for a specific team to win. Maybe a group of friends is going out to eat and you have to choose a destination. Oftentimes it's usually easier to just say, "I don't care where we go," rather than choosing the destination. Now, sometimes people apply this idea of picking sides or not picking sides to religion. They say things like, "I don't care what religion anyone believes, I just stay out of it altogether." Or, "It doesn't matter what you believe, it's all the same God anyways." And people say things like this for a couple reasons. Either they think that they can just stay neutral and they don't have to pick a side, or they think that there really are no sides and it doesn't matter what you believe. But we'll find in our text today that Jesus tells us there really are only two sides. There is no in between. So with that in mind, let me ask you, with whom do you stand? The victor, Jesus, or the vanquished, Satan? There is no in between. So our narrative opens up by providing the setting of this account. Jesus had just finished casting a demon out of a man. And there was a group of Pharisees there, and Pharisees, they weren't on Jesus' side, and they definitely didn't want people to think that Jesus was the Messiah. So they came forward with this accusation. They claimed that Jesus was casting out demons by the power of the devil. They said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." Now this would be effective because obviously none of these people wanted anything to do with Satan. So if Jesus was somehow an ally of Satan, then they wouldn't want anything to do with Jesus either. But now Jesus, before this idea can take root in these people's minds, he answers back and crushes the Pharisees' accusation. So he points to a common life situation that no one would be able to deny. He says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls." So if you think of like King David and how his son Absalom was trying to turn the whole kingdom against him and he was going behind David's back, the kingdom went through some perilous times. And this same thing would be true with Satan. He has a kingdom in the hearts of unbelievers here on earth. And commonly in Jesus' time, he also ruled over people physically through demon possession. So how would Satan's kingdom last if, on the one hand, he's using his power to put demons into people, and on the other hand, he's using that same power to cast out those same demons? It would be like building up a house one day and then tearing it down the next, so it wouldn't be doing anything. So using this logic, Jesus shows that he can't possibly be casting out demons by Satan. So the only other possible explanation is that Jesus is casting out demons by the power of God. He was there with the authority of God on his side, and these Pharisees had just accused him of being in cahoots with the devil. So then Jesus draws a picture to help the Pharisees understand this further. He says, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger one than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor which he trusted and divides his spoils." So in this analogy, the first strong man is the devil. And he was ruling in the hearts of men. And if no one else had ever come along to overcome the devil would continue to rule in all people's hearts. But Jesus did come. He was the stronger man. And he had come with the purpose of destroying the devil, taking back mankind for himself, and ruling in man's hearts instead. So after all this, you'd expect the Pharisees to be trembling with fear, to be begging for forgiveness. But they weren't. And Jesus had just shown that he wasn't from Satan. He definitely was from Jehovah, the Almighty God, the powerful judge. And yet these Pharisees, they still weren't begging for forgiveness. You see, when they denied Jesus from their hearts, they had welcomed Satan into their hearts. They were decidedly not on the side of the victor. So now, are you on the side of the victor? These Pharisees were experts in the scriptures, they were spiritual leaders, and even they let the devil into their hearts. So are we on the side of the victor? I think we can all say, yeah, we are on the side of the victor. We're on the side of Jesus Christ. But how often in our lives does it seem like we're actually on the side of the vanquished? Now, oftentimes his side seems more appealing to us. He's able to tell these lies to us and worm his way into our thoughts. And he pulls at our desires and our lusts, deceiving us. He tells us things like, it's okay for you to do that as long as you don't hurt anyone else. Or, it's okay if you aren't married as long as you love one another. That's close enough. Or, it's okay to do that, just be sure to repent soon afterwards. Oftentimes it seems like the second that we are tempted by the devil in one of these ways, we're already committing that exact sin. So are we on the side of the victor? Can we be when the devil constantly has so much sway over us? Well, even when the devil is able to slip into our minds, and when he's able to sneak in and lead us astray, we can have confidence that the Lord has overcome Satan. He crushed the devil through his death on the cross, and he's taken us back for his possession. If you picture yourself as a house that the devil once dwelt in, once Jesus came in his word, he vanquished the devil. He kicked him out of that house. And now Jesus is living inside of you. He's standing at the doorway of your heart. And when the devil comes back knocking, Jesus is barring the way. He's saying, this heart is my possession. I've died for this person. I've won them back from you. And there's no way that you are getting back in here. Jesus took possession of your heart, and he claimed you for his side. At the end of our text, we read this exclamation from a woman. She said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nurse you. Then Jesus responds by saying, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. We can use this response from Jesus as a sort of self-test. You guys are probably aware of those quizzes that go around online, on Facebook, that you can fill out and figure out which superhero you are or what your personality is or what country you should be living in. This is kind of a self-test just like that. And the test is titled, with whom do you stand? There's only two possible results. Either you stand with the victor, Jesus, or the vanquished, Satan. And the test question is this. Do you hear the word of God and keep it? Now, if we're being honest with ourselves, I think we'd all have to say, no, we don't hear the word of God. We don't treasure it as we should. We often fail in this regard. But the good news is that Jesus died for that sin too. And even though we sin by not hearing the word of God and not treasuring it with our whole hearts, God still blesses us. And the greatest blessing is this, that even though by ourselves we never would have left the devil's side, we never would have joined the side of the victor, Jesus took us and carried us over to the side of the victor. He claimed victory over the devil for us. So let us thank the Lord for claiming us for his side. In Jesus' saving name, amen. We'll close by singing hymn 370, verse 1.